We hope and trust that you will find this Torah in Motion program meaningful. Through these programs, Torah in Motion encourages discussion, debate, and education about the most important issues facing Jews and Judaism today. Together, we can focus on creating religious commitment through an honest and sophisticated encounter with topics that are relevant to being Jewish in the modern world. For more information about this and other Torah in Motion programs, please visit the website at www.torahinmotion.org.
With permission of Rabbi Kelman and all the people, all the great people that put this together, permission of all the members that I guess keep this shul heated and cooled at the right times. You know, for 3 years I've been living in Toronto at Spadina and St. Clair. So 3 years before that, I was a rabbi in Oshawa, Ontario. Yes, there are Jews there. I remember I was coming from Muncie. So you can imagine the culture shock, a guy coming from Muncie, New York, winds up in Oshawa, Ontario. We packed, finally go to Oshawa. And the job of a good husband is to move one box to this room and then move the same box back, hold the picture up, move it 2 inches this way, move it 2 inches back. So after a couple hours, is about the first time I was going to meet my balabatim, I needed to go get a haircut. So I'm driving around in Oshawa looking to get a haircut, and I see a barber shop on Stevenson. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the back roads of Oshawa. Sure enough, I go to the barbershop, I sit down, and you have to envision, I just came from Muncie. So I was decked out in my hat, tie, jacket, my tzitzis out. If you've ever been to Oshawa, you know that not only was I the only person there wearing a yarmulke in public, but I was the only person in Oshawa with a button-down shirt. So can you imagine the shock value when this barber looks at me in the mirror, and he says, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a rabbi." Looks at says, "What's a rabbi?" I said, "It's a Jewish clergy." He says, "Okay." Tell him not to cut the payas. A little discussion about that. Starts cutting my hair after a half a minute. Can't take it anymore. I said, so what do you guys believe in? So you have to understand that I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Wein. I've been waiting 6 years for someone to ask me this question. Finished the kuzari. So I started explaining to him what Jews believe in. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. After 3 minutes, he says, "Listen, pal, as long as we all believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter." Thank God, come to a place, able to communicate, where perhaps some of the information that you have can make a Rosh Hashanah on people. I'd like to share with you, perhaps we can learn together, the Gemara of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to study Torah. And Torah gives us happiness. There are some things that we're allowed to study. And the classic text is the text of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, which I'd like to learn with you today. We all know that the temple was destroyed in the year 70. And how was the temple destroyed? The temple was destroyed because of forces. The Jewish people were arguing with each other. First it was Nero. And Nero left. Vespasian came in. Vespasian gave over to Titus. Titus, in fact, 2 years before the year 70 and the year 68, he was almost killed by a horse raid. Remember, many people are familiar with the fact that Hitler was a messenger, Yamach Shema, Hitler was a messenger of World War I, and he survived. The survival rate for a messenger in World War I was not good, and he survived. And he felt this was a message from God, that he's unbeatable. And that's what Titus felt. He survived. And he felt he was unbeatable. In fact, 2 years later, Tita said that he killed Hashem. In the year 70, the temple was destroyed. And if you would be reading the Time magazine of the day, the Wall Street Journal, say, well, the Jewish people lost. They had enough food to last for so many years. And there was infighting, and Jewish people burnt the warehouses. And then they had to fight, and then there were so many different factions within the Jewish people. Ultimately, they lost. They didn't handle their power successfully. And we don't believe that. The Ramban says that if anyone believes that there's any natural occurrence, they don't have a chelek in Torah's Moshe. Everything is supernatural. And in fact, the Gemara we're going to learn brings down that the temple was not destroyed because they didn't put the soldiers in the right spaces. They didn't play the game correctly. The temple was destroyed because of what happened in the year 66. In the year 66, there was the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. I'd like to share that Gemara with you. Amar the Yochanan. Know that during the break, everyone rushed out. I thought they were serving food. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "My dechsev." What does it mean when it says in the pasuk, "Ashrei azal abi pachat tamid"? Fortunate is the man that he fears constantly. Umachshel libo and uharden his heart, yipol bara'a. Someone that's arrogant, someone that doesn't open his heart, then bad will fall him. You know, in the Gemara, in the Chumash, when it's discussing the karbanos, it says by every karban, reich nichalach laHashem, that it's the job of the karban to be a beautiful smell to Hashem. The Shem Yishmuel asks, what are we trying to seduce God? We're a nice cologne. Reich nichalach laHashem. Things that smell nice to Hashem. You put it in a nice package. And suddenly we can fool Hashem. So he answers very beautifully that smell gets people excited about the thing itself. If you smell something nice, you want to eat it. So he says, but if the food itself is no good, then we're missing the point. You're not going to go back to it. He says, the carbon has to be reich nichalach laHashem. It has to be a beautiful smell to Hashem. But if it just ends with the carbon, and you buy a very nice animal, and you schlep it all the way on the subway, all the way down to the Beis HaMikdash, and you bring it in, right, and you schlep it, and you take a lot of money, month's rent, to buy a big animal, and you slaughter it, and you cry. But if you're not changing yourself, all it is a nice smell. The smell is before the thing itself, the Shem Yishmuel said. You can smell nice, but it has to turn into action. You have to change yourself. So many times people that are arrogant, it's very hard to change. We're going to hear the story, three stories. One we're going to highlight of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, about the inability of Reich Nichalach of starting out perhaps making parties, inviting people. But if one's actions don't change, destruction will follow. The Gemara says as follows, that a Kamsa Bar Kamsa, because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Charav Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash, was destroyed. A Tarnagol, Tarnagolata, because of a rooster and a hen, Charav Tormalka. Tormalka was destroyed. It was the custom that the rooster and a hen would run in front of Chasam Vakala. It would be symbolic, it should be fruitful, multiply. I'm not going to ask anyone here who's the male and who's the female in the rooster and the hen. Question's been plaguing me for many years. There was a maisa that the Romans killed the rooster and the hen, and they grabbed and they didn't show respect for this beautiful Yiddish minhag. Jewish people are arrogant. Chutzpah. How can they do this to me? How can they destroy our minhag? Didn't have savvy. They're arrogant. They made machloikas. Similarly, I sucked at the rispa because of the side wall of the carriage. A similar minhag. In Beit Ha, they would grow the trees. They'd have a boy tree and a girl tree. And when they would finally get married, they'd chop down the tree and they'd make a nice chuppah from it. It's a beautiful minhag. But the Romans, a big hancho lady in the Roman family, she was going by and the carriage broke. They needed to fix up the carriage. So they chopped down the tree. And the Jews didn't react kindly. They're arrogant. They made machlekes again. And because they rebelled in this little episode, Beit Har fell. How is it that, perhaps I'm talking to the wrong crowd, but how is it that Jewish people can be so arrogant? It's fascinating. If you'd have a home for 400 years, and Hashem built your home, you'd also develop some arrogance. We who don't have the Beis HaMikdash can't understand how the people back then didn't have any savvy. Didn't they know what's going on? Play the game a little bit. Understand that Hashem's not going to be there for you all the time. But they had the Beis HaMikdash for so many years. What do you say, Hashem? You're going to destroy your own house? Who built this? You built it. You took us out of Egypt. You brought us into Yerushalayim. 500 years we didn't have anything. Come Shlomo, he built it. We're here for 400 years more. You're going to destroy your house? They knew Hashem didn't have the guts to do it. Destroy his own house, destroy his own people. This arrogance led to the destruction. How many, see it in many cases, how many people have bad tempers? And in Chas V'Shalom, when something happens, they're humbled because either they got divorced, they lost a child, they have financial problems. How many of us in our own lives, how many of us lose that edge, lose that arrogance? I remember a vacation in the Catskills. In my bungalow colony, every Saturday night, they turn the shul into a casino, and they either have an Israeli singer or an entertainer. Let's say the show starts at 10 o'clock. The show starts at 10 o'clock at 9:45, the two rows in front are filled up with people that will never laugh at anything. Right? They show up 9:45 getting ready to laugh. He's not funny. But on the Shabbos night, on the Matzoi Shabbos of Tisha B'Av, they don't have a show. So they have the general meeting. By there, everyone's there at 9 o'clock. Everyone there is fighting. And this year, in the colony, there's a big debate whether to make a new pool. And the fighting that was going on, it was amazing. My father, who's this year the president of the colony, I suggested, you know, have this meeting some other time in the summer. Because you can't have entertainment during the 9 days. I mean, people come just with entertainment value. Such arrogant people fighting and yelling. There's one particular guy, every year, he used to be so loud and yell at people. He was the only guy, only Jewish guy I ever knew that had a gun. Always threatened to bring this gun. No one ever saw this gun, but everyone felt that he owned a gun. I'm going to bring my gun. I'm going to bring my gun. Aaron yelling at everyone. He used to yell on this particular survivor. I mean, no rachmanis, no mercy. And then Nebuch, his wife couldn't take it anymore. After 20 years, she left him. And he became a nice guy. Humble. Didn't have this edge to him anymore. But if people always think that the parents are going to support them, the children are going to back them, the spouse, everyone's going to be there for them. I can be a hothead. Everyone's going to always be there for me. We continue to deceive ourselves. We always have this edge. We have to understand that that's not always going to be the case. We're dealing with adults. We have to lose that edge. And yet the Jewish people time and time again felt that Hashem would never leave us. Hashem left us, my friends. Hashem left us and He left us again and we're still waiting for ultimately to be returned to Him. And we have to lose our arrogance, this edge, this confidence. Weiter gemacht. A Kamsul Bar Kamsa Chorav Yerushalayim. Because of Kamsun Bar Kamsa, the Marsha says that Bar Kamsa was literally the son of Kamsa. So on a Kamsa, on account of a Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Chorav Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was destroyed. What's the story that we're familiar with, some of us? To Gabra, there was a man, the Rachmei Kamsa. There was a man, we're going to call him the host. And he liked Kamsa. Ubaldavavei Bar Kamsa. And the guy that he did not like at all, his name was Bar Kamsa. Abba Tsudoso, the host, made a Tsuda. Amar Lishmai, he said to Shamish, his messenger, Zeal, Isile Kamsa, go and invite Kamsa. Azul, Isile Bar Kamsa. He went, and Nebuch, Dugul, Mitzugul, he invited the wrong guy. He invited Bar Kamsa. Atza, and everyone showing up at the party. Ashke, Abu Yasir, the host saw that his Bar Kamsa was sitting there. Didn't he know that the host hated him? And he's sitting there, Chutzpah. Amale, Michdi, let's see, Ahu Gavra, that there's this man. Baldavavei, the Ahu Gavra, he doesn't like this man. Hamai Bar Yisrael, what are you doing here? Kum Puk, get up and get out of here. I don't want to see your face anymore. You know I don't like you. Get out of my party. Amalei, Hayul Va'atiya Shaftan, Vihidnakla Dami, Mada Khilna Bishasina. Since I'm already here, I notice there's no clock in this shul. Was there a reason? Okay. He said, I hope there's no clock behind me. Hold at the shotgun, the Ibn Khadame Madakhin Vishasin. He said, I'm already here. Let me pay. We'll make a tab. I'll pay for what I'm eating, what I'm drinking. Just don't embarrass me. Oh, the host, this was not a good offer. Amr Lelo. Sorry, pal. He says, you're coming into my place and you want to eat? No, sorry. Get out of here. I'll give you half. I think this even includes flour and liquor. I'll give you half of the party. I'll pay for half of it. Amalelo, he says, no, I can't stand you. Leave. Amalelo, to make kula suda sayyid. I will give you the entire value of the suda. Can you imagine if that happened at one of our children's weddings? We'd be the happiest person in the world. Okay. No problem. Stay as long as you want. You can sit at the dais, right? Leave Sheva Brachos, right? None of that. He says, you're out of here. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. He took him by his hand. He stood him up, and he chucked him. He threw him out of the party. Amar. So here Bar Kamsa on the street, embarrassed in front of all of the house guests. Amaho Vahavayatse Rabbanon Fulomokubay. Since the rabbis were just sitting there and they didn't protest, the rabbis were at the party and they didn't open up their mouth not for 1 second to defend Bar Kamsa Shmami no Kanichale. I see that they were comfortable with this. Can you imagine if you're a rabbi? I will never want to subject you to that vision. You're going for some fundraising, right? You go into someone's house, and all they're doing is saying Lashon Hara. And you're the rabbi. You're about to ask this guy for a donation. And the guy is mamish saying such awful things. What do you do? He tells us, excuse me, but before I ask you for a donation, you have such a dirty mouth. Now, can I have $1 million? Rabbis are there. Rabbis have to stand for something. You can't just say, no, in fact, for those that have the sheets, this story is brought down not only in the Gemara, but in the Medrash Rabba Necha. And the Medrash Rabba Necha says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, my Rebbe in Yeshiva, no matter how many lines are on the page, didn't have to count. He always knew 17 lines from the bottom. Whoop, there. Rav Zechariah ben Avkalas. According to the Medrash Rabbah, The main rabbi of this story of the Chaya ben Avkalos was actually at the party. And he didn't say anything. Gemara is also going to take Rav Zechariah to task. But can you imagine? Such a rude host, and the rabbis are sitting there, carrying on a conversation about another Gemara, schmoozing and learning, pretending they don't see, and this travesty, this tragedy is taking place. Oh, of course, well the host, he's the big macher. Can we say anything? Let's let it slide. No big deal. Tomorrow we'll go to Bar Kamsa, we'll make L'chaim with him. Doesn't work. What happened? The following story. Ezel Ichel Behu Karza Be'Malka. He went. And Rashi brings there on the Lashon of Kurtza his slander, and he made slander against to the king, to Caesar. Also Amar Lila Caesar, he went and he said to Caesar, Merdu B'chay Yudai, the Jews are rebelling. Amar Le Miyemar. Caesar says back to him, like, who says so? None of my officers are telling me this is taking place. So Amar Le Caesar, he says to the Caesar the following, Mardu Amar Le Shadalu Karbana, bring a carbon to the Beit HaMikdash. Rashi brings down, some people might not be familiar, but any person can bring a carbon in the Beit HaMikdash. Jew, not Jew, anyone can bring a carbon. In fact, you always imagine that the non-Jews would be more willing to bring a carbon. It sounds like a novel idea. I know that my shul is located above a Starbucks. So Friday night we started with, our shul is 3 years old, Friday night we started a minyan. The first Friday night we had me and two other people for Friday night minyan. One guy told me he was moving. So I think I'm the only rabbi that lost half his oilam in one night. Can you imagine? And things started picking up as we had six or seven people. We used to go down to Starbucks. Figured no one in Starbucks is in a real rush, right? So we knew right away, after months of going down to Starbucks, that as soon as you said, we need help for a minyan, the person said yes, we knew they weren't Jewish. That was the rule of thumb. Nelach had one story. The guy was coming out of Starbucks, holding on to something that must have had six words attached to it. And he's sipping, we came out and he's sitting in the front area, and I said, you know, we have someone upstairs who's saying Kaddish, and you would be the tenth. So he looks at me and he says, look, he says, my mother's sitting in Shiva and I'm not there, so you're not getting me. I like Jews. We're funny people. So he says the following, he says, I'm going to bring a carbon. Amalei shadar lehu karbana, bring a carbon, chazit, and we'll see. Imak riven la, if they're going to bring the carbon, because again, the Beit HaMikdash allows for every person in the world to come to the Beit HaMikdash and bring a carbon, even a non-Jew. So imak riven le, if they'll bring it, then we'll see. So azul shadar biyada, he went, and he took an agla klasa, a three-year-old calf. Calves have not worked well with the Jewish people. Bahabe de Kaasi, in the meantime, Shadda be Muma, he made a mum, he made a blemish on the animal. He was a smart guy, Bar Kamsa. Benipsa Fasayim, on the upper lip, Rashi says. Vamrele, and other people say, Bedukin Shabayin, on the eyelid, cataract. Zuchta Adilidun, Havi Muma. Because according to the Jewish people, an animal that has an eye problem or a mouth problem, it's considered a blemish, not allowed to be brought. But the Lideu, but to the Romans, lav mumahu. It's not considered a mum. So he played his cards right. Because he knew the Jewish people wouldn't take the karba. To Rome, and this is perhaps is the Maral's idea, to the Rome, it was only considered, and Rashi brings it down, I think, that only if it's missing an aver. Only if it's missing a limb is the animal not considered good. If it's missing an arm, a leg, then the animal is not considered a kosher animal to be brought. Even they would be maskim, even they would agree that if you're bringing an animal and it's missing a leg, it's not good. But Rome wouldn't agree to this, that if there's a mum on the eye of the mouth, if there's a blemish on the eye of the mouth, it's not so bad, can still function, can still do everything. The Jews, we know that there could be an invalidation of psul, even if someone is all there. If someone has a bad mouth, someone says lashon hara. I think we heard already in this shul, the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Later we're going to hear from the Orthodox Union, the video. Lashon hara. It's a whole movement of watching what we're saying. The complicated questions that we have, is this lashon hara? Is this lashon hara? I got a call recently about someone asking me if they're allowed to tell their neighbor that the person that's doing their building is a shyster. Or did he hear firsthand? How do you know he's a shyster? Because I might do business with him. Well, I know his brother and he's also a shyster. Well, the halachas of lashon hara. So many halachas. The Jews, we care about these things. We know that lashon hara, what comes out of our mouth counts. What comes in our mouth counts. I remember Muncie, with my first child, I was standing next to someone that was returning, and I think it was a Pathmark. It might still be a Pathmark in Muncie. And he was returning baby food because he thought it was parv. It was kosher. But it wasn't Kol Yisrael. It was milk, and it wasn't Kol Yisrael. I think it was even powdered milk, which many people, like me, that hold of Chol Yisrael, cheat a little with powdered milk. There's some allowance for powdered milk. I think that enables you to have a Snickers or Milky Way, something like that. I remember when I had it in front of me, I did this, I think Dunkin' Donuts also is powdered milk. We shouldn't be talking about these things, I guess, today. And he goes to the lady, I have to return it. She says, it's kosher. He says, yeah, but it's dairy. So it's dairy. Well, it's not Chol Yisrael. So the lady says, I'm sorry, that's not a good enough reason. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu refused to be nursed by anyone but a Jewish lady. I think the you know, anyways, he wound up giving it to me. But we have to care. We have to care about what comes in our mouth. What comes out of our mouth. Someone just asked me a question. It's a very good question. I'm sure many of us go through it. You invite it to someone, but they think they have the same standard of kashrut as you. But you feel that they have a lower standard. Everyone in the room, you know, has a standard. There are a million standards in kashrut. A million standards. You go to someone that has a lower standard. So someone asked me this question, what should I do? Just a couple of days ago, and I said, which is the rabbinical answer, if he had poison and they were serving you and you didn't want to embarrass them, would you eat it not to embarrass them? So you have to make the decision, no. They have to decide what to do. Invite them to your house. We care. We care about what comes in our mouth and out of our mouth. You know, the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation and the Chavetz Chaim and the Mishneh Berurah were very big into lashon hara. Some for it, some against it. But he says, the Gemara says there's something else besides lashon hara, and that's benifsa fasayim. In addition to benifsa fasayim, that's bedukin shabayim. I think the greatest challenge that's facing a Jew nowadays is not watching one's mouth, believe it or not, but it's watching one's eyes. By a Jew, we say, they have to control your mouth and your eyes. I live in New York, and I was in Manhattan. I was with a very young child. Walked by a poster. The poster must have been 30 stories, the poster. Of a woman that was looking like she was getting ready to mekayim a mitzvah. Little person looks up. You know, you look up at the top of a building. I'm looking up, as he's by the 8th floor and the 9th floor, I quickly put my eyes, hand over his eyes and said, don't go to the 10th. Don't go to the 10th floor. Shemiras Einayim, what we look at. We don't think it has an effect on us. Turn on the TV. Commercials. Can't listen to the radio anymore. Half the advertisements are for adult entertainment or for hair pieces. It's difficult. Shemiras Einayim. Watching one's eyes. My Rebbe, Rabbi Wein, says that when he was in yeshiva in Chicago, there was an older rabbi that used to take the long way into the yeshiva, used to go through the back. So finally he asked his rabbi, you know, why are you taking the long cut? And he said, you know, because the people in the front aren't dressed so modestly. He's an 80-year-old man, cares about what he sees with his eyes. We live in a culture that you can look whatever you want, right? As long as you don't hurt anyone, you can see. I once heard of Twersky from Pittsburgh. He said the biggest challenge nowadays is the internet. It's bigger than Lashon Hara, it's bigger than drugs, it's bigger than alcohol, it's internet. And even in my own shul, in the secretary's computer, we had a virus. And in shul itself, stuff that you'd be embarrassed to see. Something got in. It's unbelievable. Shemiras Einayim. What makes a Jew special is how he uses his mouth and how he uses his eyes. That's what makes a Yid Kaddish. That's what makes a holy Jew special. You want to know what separates the men from the boys? It's these two things. The whole world gives charity. We also have to give charity. The whole world respects their parents. We also respect our parents. This is mitzvah sichliyah. These are things that make sense. But the whole world doesn't watch their mouth, and the whole world definitely doesn't watch their eyes. If we're going to become a special people, it's these two things that we have to work on. And so Bar Kamsa knew this. So Bar Kamsa put a blemish on these things, either or. Alright, first wide line. Hasabar Rabbanan, the rabbi's thought. Lukrive, to bring the karma. Mishum Shalom Alsas, because of peace. Bring the karma. Caesar will be happy and life will go on. Amar Zechariah ben Avkalas, Rav Zechariah ben Avkalas said, Yamru, people are going to say, you're going to establish a precedent. Oh, we can't do it. Precedent. Bali Mumin Kriven, without him is there. People will say that the rabbis allow animals which are pasul, which have a blemish, to be brought in the base of Mikdash. Think of the precedent we're going to set. It's going to be over all the papers. No, we can't do it. We can't bring the karba. Sava l'mikule. They thought to kill him. Amazing. The rabbi said, let's kill him. And halachically, it's not such a bad idea. Here he is. He's an informer. We don't take lightly to informers. He's about to compromise our position and kill him. And if Zechariah ben Avkalas, he says the following, Amar lo Rav Zechariah ben Avkalas, Matu mum b'kachim yara? People are going to say that if you don't do a good job in the Beis HaMikdash, if you bring a korban that's not correct, they're going to kill you. You want people to be scared to bring korbanos? Imagine, he didn't say you can't kill. No, maybe you could kill. Maybe this is a case to kill. We don't like informers. Maybe it does pay to kill. But in this particular instance, we can't kill. Because you imagine you're going to bring your cow, you're going to bring your animal, you're going to bring your ram to the Beis HaMikdash. Now normally when you bring your ram to the Beis HaMikdash, your animal to the Beis HaMikdash, your sheep, you have to go in a carriage, right? What are you going to start doing? Putting pillows all around it? So it shouldn't have a mum? I mean, there were bad korbanos brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohen said, sorry pal, you just wasted your money. You should have gone to a legitimate ram seller. And you went to got the 50% off, it's a mum, and you lost your money. Right? Should have done a little more investigation on your animal. So these things do happen. But think of the precedent. You're going to scare people off. People are going to say, hey, now if I have a mum, I'm going to get killed for it. So no one's going to bring animals anymore to the temple. Why should they take the gamble? They'll send in a check and that's it. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan started off this Gemara, says the following. And the new soul shall Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalas. Not sure whether to translate this. I saw it in one place tolerance, one place sablanut, patience. We'll leave it at tolerance because of the tolerance of Zechariah ben Avkalas. Because of Zechariah ben Avkalas, because of his tolerance, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, our Heichal was burned, and we were exiled from our land. Because of Zechariah ben Avkalas. Because he didn't understand that Hashem is not going to be always there for the Jewish people. Hashem is going to say, you want to play games? I'm not going to give you the Beis HaMikdash forever. Everything's going to be okay. We have the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem's not going to destroy his own house that he built. Perhaps that's what Zechariah ben Avkalas thought. Things will never change. Things will always be the same. I think the Rav brings down that's why the Shvatim were edgy around Yosef. Yosef was a dreamer. And we don't like dreamers. People come and do things a little differently. We don't like that. In the shul, I grew up in Staten Island. Yes, it's a conflict with shuls worldwide. And the older Gabbayim refused to hand it over to the younger Gabbayim. New ideas, how to run the shul. And people don't like new ideas. People don't like dreamers. They make us nervous. Yosef made everyone nervous. Zechariah ben Avkalas didn't understand that change was on the horizon. Hashem was not going to look the other way this time. He was going to treat the Jews like any other nation. He was going to remove himself and let the forces of nature take its toll. You survive, you survive. But I'm not going to stand by you anymore and hold your hand. Now it's interesting, as we study the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, different characters we can point a finger at. Number one, we can point the finger at the host. Chutzpah. I don't think you have to analyze the host. Look the other way. Relax. You're not so important. Bar Kamsa, someone ticks you off, take it out on that guy. You gotta take it out on the Jewish people. Take it out on the rabbis. Amazing. Bar Kamsa. And the Ein Yaakov brings down that even the messenger can be taken to task. We can point the finger at the messenger. If the host and Bar Kamsa did not get along, and the host and Kamsa were best buddies, and you're reading this invitation, you must really be spacing out if you sent it to the wrong guy. And you think of yourself when your mother or wife asks you to do something when you're watching the football game. You must really be in another world to take the invitation to the wrong guy. It's not medaseh b'lashon. How can this messenger make such a big mistake? He's too busy talking. He's not listening. So we can take even the messenger to task. Who else can we take the task? Rav Zechariah ben Avkalas. He was either at the party, or he was at the Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't do anything. And you should know that many of us, if we were in his shoes, would have done the same thing. Okay. It's not a big deal. Let it slide. Look, the Jewish people should get along. How many of us would have stood up and said, no, I stand for something? You know, Aaron Cohen says that Aaron Cohen is an Oreb Sholem and a Roedek Sholem. Aaron Cohen loves peace and pursues peace. The word Roedek always means pursue, like to pursue, to kill. What's Pshat? He's an Oreb Sholem. He's a Roedek Sholem. He loves peace and he pursues peace like he wants to kill it. Answer is, when the peace is an amnestic of peace, then he's going to pursue it, because he loves it. But when the peace is not an emistic of peace, Then he's going to be roidef it. He's going to extinguish it. He's going to get rid of that piece. I don't know how many people have a proxy for the California governor election. Can you imagine if a legitimate politician got on the same platform as some of these other people? I mean, I was a big fan of Different Strokes, don't get me wrong. But to sit on the same platform as Gary Coleman, right? You're for sure you're not going to win the election. Yes, everyone's entitled to an opinion. But if you put him on the platform, you know, no one's going to take you seriously. It's a challenge. How does one constantly be tolerant and constantly be emistic at the same time? We all have relatives, which we can't tolerate. Except for me. This is on tape. How do you be tolerant and emistic at the same time? Not so easy. It's a challenge. All can point the finger of the Chayavin of Kolis. He didn't understand to be emistic. Understand, tolerant, let him go, relax. But to stand, didn't put all pieces together. But how many of us can do it? Challenges for people, for communities, for shuls. Not so simple to be tolerant and emistic at the same time. It's not only a challenge for shuls, it's a challenge for individuals. With one's extended family, with one's neighbors, with their own children. Not so simple. But there's one individual that slides under the radar, goes undetected, and that is Kamsa. The story started out by saying that because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. So I understand what Bar Kamsa did. Bar Kamsa, the host, got into a fight. They both were hotheads. But the Gemara doesn't say because of the host in Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. The Gemara says because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. So what did Kamsa do? The only thing Kamsa did was he wasn't invited to the party. He's sitting there waiting for the invitation coming from his friend the host. Doesn't come. So he goes to the smoker for the weekend. That's it. That's his whole involvement in the party. Nothing happened. So again we go to the Maharal. What did Kamsa do? And Kamsa did the following. Kamsa was the type of person, the Maharal says, it's Lashon Kemitza. Kemitza is a part of the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. Where you take just the right amount. You know what Kamsa was? Kamsa was this just around, just, he was the guy that said, I know just how to press the buttons. I know just how to take just the right amount. Where everyone thinks, I'm the Kissinger. I'm the peacemaker. But really, I'm the guy that's fanning the flames. I don't want to get involved, Ellie, because you're a great rabbi and everything, but you know, the other rabbi spoke a little better than you. I don't want to get involved. In fact, he just told me that. But it's not important. It didn't come from me. This is a Kamsa and a Bar Kamsa type of person. Someone that just knows how to push the buttons. A brother-in-law that comes in to give advice. I don't want to get involved. But you're really not acting nice to your father. He's right. Fading the flames. As I heard from Rabbi Zadar, it's important, and of course, to make the show up. But Hashem knows your intentions. What are you doing? Are you pressing the buttons? Are you going to a board meeting for entertainment? Shul's policies, are you there just to press people's buttons? Do you go to the candy man when you know he's run out of candy in Shul? That was Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So the Gemara is right. When the Gemara says that because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed, even though Kamsa didn't do anything, he did everything. Because he was that type of person, and so was Bar Kamsa. That they just like to needle people, and press the button, and say the thing. Get into a discussion with a friend, and you know he's having problems in business. How's business? You know, he's had a problem with social life. How does he socialize? You know, they ask questions. Kid's getting not a lot of knockers with his children. You walk over to him, the first thing you say, oh, my son just got a scholarship. Not to press buttons. People are not married. People without kids. Someone goes to a Shabbos table. Everyone's talking about their children. Not so simple. Pressing people's buttons unintentionally, intentionally. It's a big challenge that we all have. On the other hand, you don't want to make a person feel uncomfortable. Act like you don't have children. On the other hand, once the talk starts, you can't stop talking about your children. In fact, now I just mentioned about my children. Yesterday, my family's still in Beaver Lake. Mimi, my 4-year-old, she says, Abba, I miss you so much. Can you bring me jewelry? Just have to say that. Yeah, 4. I'm in trouble. Such a challenge. Talk not to talk. Habosai, we all have a little bit of Kamsa in us, of Bar Kamsa in us, of the messenger within us, of the host within us, of the Rezachai Ben Apollos within us. We all have that within us. We all have these character flaws. And because of us, because of our generation, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So we have to look, and we have to protect ourselves, and we have to make ourselves better. The Gemara ends with something very inspiring. Heftar was sent back to the Caesar. Ki asu shaga geira l'mizrach. So Nira comes in. Niran. I don't know if it's Nero. Is it the real Nero or not? Rashi doesn't say whether they had a fiddle or not. So sure enough, shaga l'el Niran. Kesar. Ki asu shaga geira l'mizrach. He shot an arrow eastward. Nafal Yerushalayim. It fell in Yerushalayim. Lamaruch, he flung it westward. Nakov Yerushalayim. Larba Ruchos, he flung his arrow. He shot his arrow all 4 directions. Nakov Yerushalayim, it all fell in Yerushalayim. So he knew that Yerushalayim was for the taking. Hashem is no longer protected. In fact, the opposite. So Amar Leli Nosa, he sees a little child. Sokli Pesukim, what are you learning in Yeshiva? What are you learning in Cheder? So I'm away, so it looked to be a fly on the wall. I'm going to take my revenge on Edom, on behalf of the Jewish people. Edom is Rome. And so Nero, who's now about to attack from Rome, being the leader of the Roman army, realizes, Hashem is ready to do what? To destroy his house. Baruch Gavra, and he wants to wipe his hands clean with this man. Wants to wipe his hands clean using this man. I'm in trouble. He wants to use me as the messenger. No, thank you. Arak, he deserted. Ba'azel, ba'gayer, v'natik miner of Meir. He deserted. He converted, and out of him came Rabbi Meir. Can you imagine at the end of all this story, the Nero converts to Judaism? It's amazing. And out of him comes Rav Meir? You know that Rav Soloveitchik asks a pretty basic question. But his insight is beautiful. If you were writing a story, a short story, and you describe Nero as being a vicious and ruthless individual, and at the end of the whole story, you're saying, and he converted, would you use the pronoun, or would you use the proper name of Nero? And he converted, he converted. Why are we moving to the pronoun? He. Don't use the word he. Use the word Nero. And so the Rav says quite beautifully, he was no longer Nero. He looked into that mirror, I'm not that old. I'm not that person that I was yesterday. I'm a new person. Can't do tshuva on what I did. I have to go forward. I'm a new individual. I'm no longer Nero. And so the Rosh said, that's why he said, then he converted. Because he was a new human being. There's a custom in many shuls that when you return the kinos to the bima, even if you own one, you leave it on the bima. Because next year we're not going to need the kinos. If you take your kinos home with you, right, you're showing that I'm going to need it next year. I'm not going to need the kinos next year. Now that our scroll came into the scene, it might be an expensive habit to do that. But that's our challenge. Halavai, we have to learn. We have to learn from all the characters in the story. We have to learn that we can't be hotheads, that our parents, our siblings, our children, and even the Rabbeinu Shalaylam is not going to always be there for us if we're a hothead. And we have sin achina. Hashem's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He did. We have to be humble. We have to learn from Zechariah ben Avkolos to not only have savvy, right, but to take into consideration that Hashem isn't there holding our hands. He's there behind an iron wall. He's waiting for us to knock down that wall. But He's not there holding our hand anymore. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. He's not holding our hand. But if we learn from all of these characters, and instead of saying it was the Chayav and Avkolos' fault, it's Kamsa's fault, it's Bar Kamsa's fault, we say it's my fault, it's Eli Carbuncle's fault, because all of these people are within me. And if we learn to calm down and not be hothead, and we learn that even someone like Nero, who was the general of the Roman army, could convert and bring a Basar of Meir, and if we work on ourselves, then next year, my friends, we're not going to need this Gemara. Halavai, we should even bring this Gemara to the Bima, because we'll have fixed ourselves. Mashiach should come in Meretz Hashem next year. We'll be learning other inyanim.
All right, we'll take another break. I can't say up from Chavi, but we'll have a 5-minute break and then we'll continue.